church family. Would you please look at a good-looking person beside you and say, "Welcome to the Lord's house." Yes. And tell them also, "Thank you for being part of the family." You know how we start our worship singing "Family"? And we are a family. We have to get used to each other because eternity is gonna be very close around the corner, and we are, like I used to say, we are stuck to each other forever. So we better behave good. Better be kind to each other. Amen. All right? Amen. So I said we better stuck to each other forever, and I saw a wife here saying to her husband, "See?" Yes, it's forever. When we are property of the Almighty One, everything is forever. So we are in a forever business. Philip was anxious to know, how does the Father look like? I went through quite a few years of my life without knowing if my father was alive or dead, and how he looked like, and I have no idea. I was taken away from my father when I was 2 years old, and my mother decided to be tough on him, you know, sometimes to get back to him, took me away, and then gave me to somebody else because her plan was not to keep me. But this is not a, don't feel sorry, this is a, actually was a beautiful thing that happened. Because sometimes we look at the past and we think, oh, this happens to me. No, the Lord has always taken care and everything worked for better. Amen. Okay, so actually, I'm not telling this story for you to feel sorry. There's no reason for it. But what happened is that I always, as a child, keep imagining, what is my father like? I have never had a picture. Nobody described. So I was always curious. One day, I was going to a friend's house just before I got in an airplane and came to the United States. And when I came to the United States, I thought, I don't think I will ever go back to Brazil. I'm coming here just to study, and who knows what is going to happen. And then the Lord brought this lady here that hooked me up, and I was never able to go back. So I was stuck here forever. But what happened is that before I came, I went to this friend's house. And one day my uncle said, "Oh, I want to go visit my mom. Would you like to come along?" So I went to see his mother. And when I was there, there were two workers that they hired to do their farm work. One looked at me and says, "I know your father. I have never seen that person before in my life. And he have never seen me before. But he looked at me, and I think you know when somebody talks with conviction. You know, it's not like, oh, I know your father. I know your father. And for him to even say that to me, he says, how does he know if I even I'm looking for my father? But he said like this, I know your father. So, oh, yeah, you do. And I just ignore it. But that stayed in my mind. Why would this individual say this? I don't even know if my father's alive. And so what happened is I went back to my friend's house and I told him, I had this individual there that said he knows my father. And he shares something else. He says, I know where he lives. And immediately he started giving a description. I heard all the things even though I was shocked. So when I told my friend, he says, you know what, this individual said this. There's some strange thing. He said like this, but he said with such a conviction. And he said, aren't you going to go there? I said, going where? there where he said that your father is, I said, hey, so many hours from here. And what about, he may be, it could be somebody looks like me. He says, get in a car. I said, what do you mean, get in a car? We're going to go there now. And we traveled, we went to this place, it was a farm, and we drove by, and it stopped. There was a huge gate, and I went in, my friend stayed in the car. And when I was approaching, here comes this kid running. Because, you know, on a farm, it's not every day that somebody drives a car to the gate and wants to talk to them. This kid, and I look at the kid. It was a picture of me when I was that age. I said, this is getting real. And my heart started changing. You can imagine, all my life, I was now 27 years old, 25 years since I have been in his presence for the last time. And eventually, I went in and I looked and I asked, is Aristides, which is a Greek name, for my father has a Greek name, he says, is he here? And they look at me and says, you are his son, aren't you? I said, yes. And by the way, when I looked at him, when I met him, I don't look like him at all that much. But they saw it. And he was not there. He was he traveled to another side of the state because he was going to buy a property. So I said, I'm sorry, I missed a chance. By the way, on April 1980, I'm going to United States. I'm going to be at this address for a few days. If he comes back, let him know. Sabbath came. Many weeks later, Sabbath came. I went with the young people to the church. And then in the afternoon, we went to give Bible studies. As we walk out of the church to give Bible studies, I was walking the sidewalk with all these young people. And out of nowhere, it surprised me. A man grabbed me, put his arm around me, and lifted me out. He said, are you looking for your father? I am your father. Amen. Wow, I had all sight of mixed emotions at that time. And I did, he put me down, and I look at his face, and I say, you're my father. Yeah, all right. So I told everybody, you can go ahead. I'm going to spend some time with them. So we went. I cooked them a meal, and we talked and everything else. And the point that I want to make, I'm not going to give more details, but the point I want to make is that we all want to see what our father looks like, especially if we have been far away from our fathers. There are a lot of thousands and thousands of children sometimes, they don't have the privilege to know what their father looks like. Some people are raised without even know who is the father. This has not to be your case. Today I'm going to talk about your father and how he looks like. But in order for you to find out how your father looks like, you need this treasure that my sister very properly asked the children to look for it. And I hope you have your own, because no treasure is more precious than the one that you can claim it is mine, right? Because something can be very precious, but it belongs to somebody else, but it's good for you to have your own. Now, we as a Seventh-day Adventist, those of us that call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists, we have basically 28 beliefs, right? Yes? 28 beliefs. If a person wants to be a Seventh-day Adventist and only agrees with 27, should that person be called a Seventh-day Adventist? You think about it. I'm not going to start. Sometimes people think that what defines a person is what the person believes. And I believe so that's the case. And so when you call your Seventh-day Adventist, it's because you believe what the church teaches according to the Bible. So let me say this to you. As a Seventh-day Adventist believer, the most important doctrine that we have, and is listed as number one, is our respect for this book. Right? This is a distinction between our denomination and many other denominations. Because when the reformers called, let's go back to scriptures, and they said, sola scriptura, sola scriptura. At that moment, many churches got on board. But they said, oh, but I don't want to leave my briefcase. What about my bag? And they put on some bags. And that's why they still go to church on Sunday, and they still believe that the people die and go somewhere and all this stuff. Those were the bags. As it came for reform, they want to do a reform, but they forgot that in order to do a reform, you have to get rid of those bags too. And we are Seventh-day Adventists. We better behave good and not pick up some bags that doesn't belong to this book. Amen? So don't pick up bags that don't belong in the true church. So the title for our message today is His Image. When I say His Image, I talk about the image of our Father. But I want you to think about this. When you talk about His image, you have to think about your image. Because you're supposed to look like your Father. If your Father is somebody claims to be your Father but doesn't look nothing like you, you may say, Mom, what in the world? Why do I look so different? Am I adopted? And so it's better for us to understand that when we talk about God's image, we talk about our own image as well. The better we know our Father, the better we will reflect His image. Okay? Of all the doctrines, like we said, we have 28. None of them have any value if you do not understand what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's how vital this subject is. Because if you keep the Sabbath, you don't know who the Father is. You're just a legalist. If you return tithe, but you don't know who the Father is, you're doing all for the works, but not because you have a commitment towards who are you worshiping? Create in His image and likeness. The text says that we were created in His image and likeness. Image is everything. This was a commercial a few years ago. Agassi, I don't know how many of you remember Agassi. You know, had a flamboyant hair. And eventually he lost all of it. I don't know, maybe he put too many chemicals on that, but he lost it. He became just like me. He was a guy that everybody looked at, the girls looked at. He was like this. Image is everything. He had a commercial. Then Canon also decided to get this special catching phrase, and they decide to advertise their cameras and says, image is everything. Isn't today a world that's obsessed with image? Very much so. I believe that he is obsessed with image. They are obsessed with image. I don't know about you, but when I put this in the screen, I feel kind of, ooh. But they are. And by the way, it's become more and more common. There are so many damage. People are doing so many things to their own bodies because they want to project a different image. Who is God? What does God look like? How much important for me to know is precisely how He is. Because you see, as humans, even when we do not like to admit, we copy everything that we see. The most powerful of all the instruments that you can imagine is our eyesight. We grab details about everything. I'm here, I look like this, and I look like this. In my brain, every face is recorded. Even if you're aware or not, the light, the color of the ceiling, the carpet, the back wall, the clock, the screen, everything, all this information goes in and does change us, modifies us. So God created human beings in His image. Yes, He created us. In the image of God, He created them. He created them male and female. And He says, male and female, He created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. This is the King James says, in the beginning, God called the he Adam and the she Adam, because Adam meant human. So it was not really a name, it was a description of what they were. So Adam meant human, and they later on became the name of the first man. Anybody heard about this individual before? Anybody? Some of you may, you know, look, I put a note in the bottom. It says he was born March 26, 1941, Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya. I believe he was a son of a missionaries, and he became one of the strongest, most popular atheists, being interviewed all the time, and wrote many, many books. And it is, it said about him, he was an enthusiastic atheist. Did he believe in God? Look what he says about God. God is jealous. He says, and also proud. He is unjust. He is unforgiving, control freak. He is vindictive. He is a bloodthirsty. He wrote this, The God Dissolution, page 31. I believe one thing. If I would see God the way he sees God, I would be an atheist also. And there are a lot of people that take the Bible and does not ask the Holy Spirit to help them to navigate through the Bible. And they go and pinpoint things. And they end up disbelieving God because they don't see God, the true image of God. Then it says, only fools think there is no God. People like that are evil and do terrible things. They never do what is right. What is the main agenda of this popular atheist? It's because they not only don't want to believe in God, but they want to, for the lack of a better word, evangelize the world, the people to follow them. And they become the gods of their own cause. They want to be popular. They want to make money. And so the people pay attention to them as if they were God. But why would a person not want to have God in their lives? Because they have this, that's why the Bible called them fools. They think, if I don't have somebody who requires anything from me, therefore I'm free. I have no restriction. I can do whatever I want. And that's why the Bible called them fools. Because no one, not a single human being, can live without depending or rely on somebody else. We all have to obey rules no matter what. There's no such thing as independence. We all dependent. Independence is just an illusion that somebody has created for their ego reasons. Great blessings belong to those who don't listen to evil advice, who don't live like sinners, and who don't join those who make fun of God. This is an easy reading version. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Instead, verse 2 says, they love the Lord. They love the Lord's teachings and think about them day and night. Brothers and sisters, do you know why sometimes people come to church and they leave the church? Because they don't think about God day and night. They think about God for 1 hour, an hour and a half on the Sabbath. And then they go home and they receive this enormous group of information that they put in their brains. They watch television, they listen to radio, they listen to other people talk, they read. And all this to try to mold, to shape your life. I was talking to a young person, and this person said, Pastor, I don't believe I believe in God anymore. And I start talking to that individual, why was the reason? It's because, you see, when you come to church and all you do is preoccupied with your cell phone, you are so consumed about talking to somebody else, and you're not listening, you're not feeding, you're not eating. And then wonder why you do not know about God, because you're not listening to anybody talking about God. You're not reading about God. You're not sharing God. And wonder why God is like doesn't exist for you. And sometimes because you receive some invitation to do things that are the presence of God will make uncomfortable. So do I remove the bad choice, or I remove the God? Some people say, if I remove God, I can have the bad choice with clear conscience. How convenient. And that's why many people become atheists, because of inconvenience. Anybody heard about this individual before? Charles Templeton? Not the young people, probably have not heard ever. From this individual, he became as big as Billy Graham as evangelist. He had stadiums with 30,000 people. And he was so on fire. And he and Billy Graham became friends. And they even had campaigns together. But one day, both of them went to Europe to conduct evangelism there. And he started having doubts about the Bible. After he brought thousands and thousands to Christ, he said that once that he started to become reading all the books and everything else, in his intellect, he said, there is no place for God anymore. And he quit everything. And then he wrote this book, Farewell to God. He now started to undo all the things he said he started to undo by criticizing God. This is what he said. The God of the Old Testament. And by the way, I didn't change the... usually I put God in capital, in a different color, so you know. But I decided to leave this the way he wrote. The God of the Old Testament, which I call the first portion of the Bible, is unlike the God of the Christians. Notice that he says, our God. He said, the God of the Christians. At this time, he was no longer... he says, his justice... is, he's talking about that God, by modern standards, outrageous. He is biased, hard to please, vindictive, just like the other one said, and jealous. And then, for the next 50 years of his life, he decided to completely live a life without God. But in this case here, somebody, this is him, close to his last days. He died in 2001. Somebody who was converted, an atheist that was converted on one of his evangelism campaigns, decided to write a book and went to see, call him and decide to see if he could get an interview with him. He was surprised that he was granted an interview. This is him, Lee Strobel, an investigative reporter who interviewed him because he was writing the book, The Case for Christ. This is what this individual said. Everything good I know. Everything decent I know. Everything pure I know. I learn from Jesus. And close to his death, he admitted that. So in other words, the seed was so deep in his heart, even though in public he denied, he could not deny a real Jesus there was still inside of him. Amen. Until he went to his grave. Amen. What about him? Father, you are the one who is good. Brother Cleveland said to you this morning, God is good. Yes, I was hoping the whole church, you know, like a choir would repeat. But this is very common. A lot of pastors do this. It says, God is good. And all the time. But the sad is, people say, all the time. They don't believe that. You need to believe what you say. Because if you don't believe what you say, you know what that means. The world does not know you. And I underline that. This is why the world is going down and walk upside down. Because the world does not know God. And if there is a time that the world needs to know God, who God is and what God looks like, it is now. And we are the children. We are the ones supposed to advertise the good looks of our Father. But I know you. Can you say like Jesus Christ, but I know my Father? By the way, if you call yourself a Christian, you're saying you are like Christ. If Christ said, I know the Father, you must be able to say also, I know my Father. And brothers and sisters, you will never know him if you do not talk or read his word. It's not possible. Jesus Christ said, I showed them what you are like. And let me share something point here that some of you may not know, but I want you to know. If you read the gospel, I want to challenge you for one thing. Every single miracle that Jesus performed, his teachings, start looking for what Jesus is saying about his Father. You're going to find out that his whole mission, entire mission, was with one objective. That one. I want to show them who the Father is. Why he was so preoccupied in showing us where the Father is. Because remember, the first time that humans talked to somebody else besides God, it was when the humans was talking to a serpent, or at least looked like a serpent. And remember what that animal being used, manipulated by Satan, what it was saying? The one you think is a good looking, actually he's ugly. You think that he's all truth? No, he's a liar too. Do you know that he does good and evil? Do you know that he's telling you that you're going to die, but no, you're not going to die. He's a liar. So the first time human beings heard any other voice besides God's voice was a statement against the image of God. That's how Satan is so committed. And for centuries, he's preaching a false image of God, especially inside the church. Especially inside of the church. If you do not search for the true God, how God looks like, you're going to waste your time in church all your life. And at the end, you're going to be a foreigner to him. In Matthew chapter 7, open your Bibles quickly, please. Chapter 7 of Matthew. And you know we have used this verse quite a few times. And I hope by now you have marked it in your Bible. Chapter 7 of Matthew. That is the famous Sermon in the Mountain. chapter 7, verse 21. I want to hear Brother Malcolm stand up and read, don't you?
Okay.
I do. Yes. Let's put him on the spot. Chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He's using his electronic Bible, right? All right. Chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, Brother Malcolm. With that powerful voice that God gave you, please. Because we have people also online. We have quite a few wonderful people in online listening to us. So they want to hear Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, please.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. 23 and last. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity.
Thank you. The expressions that is shocking in this whole story is that these people claimed to be so powerful that to know God, and God says, I have no clue who you are. I do not know you. Why? Because you do not know me. You're doing things for your own ego, but you're following religion for some kind of purpose, but not to know us. When I say us, I talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I showed them what you are like. And I will show them again. I will reveal to them what you are, because they need to know what they're supposed to look like. So Jesus Christ was not only revealing the Father, but for our sake, so that we know what we're supposed to look like. And it says, then they will have the same love that you have for me. And I will live in them. John 17, 26, New Century Version. Thank you, Brother Mark. If you really knew me, you would know my Father too. If you knew me, you knew the Father. But if you remember the individual when he says, the God of the Christians is a nice, good-looking God. But the God of the Jewish people, he didn't say that, but that's what most of them mean. The God of the Jewish people, I don't want anything to do with that God. Because that God is mean. He's violent. He's jealous. He behaves worse than my neighbor. He's a terrible God. He should be in prison because he's so violent. But now you know him and you have seen him. So this is what we say to everyone who wants to go to the first portion of the Bible. If you read the description of God, what the things of God does in the first 39 books of the Bible, yes, in some cases, is very disturbing because the language that is used. But I tell people, when you want to know the God that is walking through the pages of the first portion of the Bible, make sure that you grab Jesus' hand and walk with him. Then you'll be able to understand all the expressions that are there. Don't go to the Old Testament without bringing Jesus Christ with you. Because he said, if you know me, you know the Father. Take him with you every time you open the Bible. Philip asked Jesus. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need. He was right on that one. And I believe, church, that is all we need today. Because if we identify precisely who the Father is, 28 believes, all the beliefs, all that is here won't be a problem. It's just going to be an easy part of what we are. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you are a Christian, if you are tempted to do things in order to become, I like to warn you, be careful, because that's how legalists are born. Don't keep the Sabbath to be a child of God. Because you are a child of God, keep the Sabbath.
Amen.
Don't murder people because the Bible says so or the law says so. But because you are a child of God, you respect, you honor life. Because life is all that you have. And if you have, and it's the most important to you, it must be important to everybody else as well. Jesus said this. Jesus answered Philip, I have been with you all along. Almost 3 years by now. Are you sleeping all the time? Are you taking a nap in church? You haven't heard a thing, Philip? So you should know me by now. Anyone who has seen me, Philip, has seen the Father as well. Because the Father and I are one. So why do you say, show us the Father? John 14, verse 9. This is an easy reading version. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He exists before anything was created and is supreme of all creation. Do you remember when he said, before Abraham was?
I am.
He didn't say, I was.
I am.
He said, I am. And I am was a clear reference to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses says, I'm going back to Egypt, and who do I say is sending me? I am what I am. Oh, by the way, that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, New Living Translation. Now, I'm not going to be talking too much about this parable, but I want you to go to Luke 15 this afternoon. Not now, this afternoon. I want you to see there is three parables. One is about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And then he go and tell them, okay, you have eaten the whole day. Now it's time to go home. Okay, let's go. Move, go home. Now we got all to go home. And they are all belly full. And they go to their... And there they are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, they look like they are all there because they are all more fat now. They are all full. So it looks like the... You know, when they left, they were like this. When they came back, like this. So they looks like everybody's there. But then he said, let me count it again. 99. There is one missing. And he leaves the 99 and he goes for that one. Do you know what's that one that he went for looking for? She was lost. I say she because I'm talking about sheep, but it could be a he, okay? And so it was lost. Why was she lost? She did not plan to be lost. She was doing something normal that all sheep supposed to do. Do you know what sheep do most of the time? 99% of the time? They look down because there is the food is. So they see their feet more than anything else. They look, and by the way, the Bible call us sheep for there is some reason. And they keep looking down, and all they preoccupied is eat. And they yappy, they go around. And they don't look where they are going. As long as the food is in front of me, they keep going. They keep going. And... I am amazed when the Lord calls us sheep, because sometimes that's exactly how we behave, aren't we? We keep biting things that we're not supposed to. And she went on eating. And the other sheep left. But she was so preoccupied in eating, she kept going. And suddenly, she's full. And you know what they do, right? They store the food, so they don't chew very well. They put inside, and says, I will go over this later again. So later on, they put that thing out back, and they, I'm sorry to be gross, but that's the way it is. And they go in, go over the whole thing again. But she look up. Mom? Dad? Where are you guys? Where did you go? Are you playing hide and seek with me? Where are you going? And she realized nobody else was around. I have seen so many Seventh-day Adventists that I end up taking a bite here, a bite there, and suddenly they were no longer coming to church. And then something happens to them. They hear a wolf around the corner. Do you know what a wolf would say when they do like this? They say, ooh, sheep, ooh. They are anxious for that fat. And there are wolves out there. And sometimes there are wolves that even you welcome to your own home to sit at your own table. Be careful with those wolves because they like sheep. They like sheep. And you are a sheep. Believe me. And so what a story tells. It tells, some people asked me a few days ago, asked me about Pastor, doesn't look strange that he left the 99 and put that lost one also almost more important than 99? I said, no, it's implied that the 99 was safe. And another point that I said to this individual, many people think that that story, that illustration, Jesus is talking about the sheep. Actually, it's not about the sheep at all. Look carefully, you see that the whole thing is about the pastor, the shepherd. In this case, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Then you talk about the coins. And I'm not going to go all of the details. But what is the coin, or what is it all about? There's nine, but there's one that is lost. Why it was lost? Was it lost inside of the church? And why was a coin lost, a member lost inside of the church? Because the church was no longer reading the Bible. The pulpit was being used as an entertainment place. Pastors were talking about their ideology or their whatever, what is going on there in the world. Not necessarily what the Bible teaches. And by doing this, dust came into the inside of the temple. And the dust ended up covering that member. And the member was lost inside of the church. But thank God that the God sent the Holy Spirit to the woman, which is the church, and told her, wake up because you're losing your members inside of your own church. You need to clean up. And the Bible says that they light. And they examined, which means they start cleaning. Once the light was on, they realized, that has to go. Oh, that has to go. And suddenly, the whole church was clean. Oh, here it is, the member that was lost. And that member is restored to value. One is rescue, the sheep. One is restore, the coin. And then there was this one. How do we call this parable? By the way, this is a trick question. Think before you answer. How they call this parable?
The prodigal son.
Many people will say the prodigal son. This is what scholars, biblical scholars, theologians, all they refer to this. It is not about the son at all. the son is just one of the people that play the role. It's not about the older son, it's not about the younger son. It's how the father treat those that are rebellious and those that claim to be faithful. It's all about his mercy, his kindness, his love, his character. Jesus told these three parables to show you who the Father is. It's about the image of the God that we worship. So please, brothers and sisters, next time you look to these parables, see the picture of your Father there. Unrepentant sinners, they think of God as having only one attribute. Which attribute do you think that all the people that want to continue in sin, they use to excuse their sin? The one who starts with L. Yeah, that one. Love. Oh, God loves. Oh, God loves the way I am. I have people say to me, it doesn't matter the way I dress. It doesn't matter how I look. And then I tell them always, go take a visit to Genesis chapter 3, when the two naked fellows appear before God. Oh no, they were not naked. They was just kind of partially dressed. Yeah, partially dressed and naked is almost the same thing. Depending on how much you're dressed and how much you are undressed. Some people go walk around, they half naked and they think they are half dressed. Make sure that you understand that God's love is not to be abused. It is a disgrace when people use grace as an excuse to continue on sinning. Amen. You are not born to be a sinner. You are born to be like your Father, holy as he is. Hiding from him or hiding in him? What is your choice today? Do you want to look like your Father? Search for him, because he has been searching for you since the foundation of the world. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All mine. If you want to take some of for you too, you have to claim him as your own. Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance. Let's sing together and believe that that's our decision in Christ today.